The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Leadership Platform Live, I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald, just the two of us today, and this is your weekly Leadership Masterclass, free, inspirational, empowering leadership conversation every week. All you have to do every week at 12 to 1, put it in your diary and listen, and we will share with you and bring onto the platform top leaders. We are exporting leadership to the world, and this is your masterclass. You can visit leadershipplatform.com, two P's in the middle, for all things leadership, articles, and you can give us comments. Who do you think we should interview? Any thoughts and feelings that you have? Our very special guest is former President Kgalema Motlanthe, who joins us in the studio, and he will be the focus of our attention today. President, welcome.
Good morning, Adrian, and good morning to your listeners, as well as old Louis here.
Yes, that's right. So I'm sitting here. I feel very young today. I've got two wise men in front of me. One is my father and the other one is a former president of our country. So I'm very intimidated, but I'm excited. And I remember our previous engagement, President. We sat at the home in Pretoria. You were deputy president. And I really have fond memories of it. For about an hour and a half, we just talked about leadership, the country. And I was able to write about that, and that stuck with me. You walked me to the door afterwards. It didn't feel like a deputy president. It felt like, I don't know, something else. And I really enjoyed that engagement, which is why I wanted you on the show to talk about leadership and to talk about your life. Last week, before we move on, the podcast last week was about leading with empathy. So do download that. Great guests. Rich Simmons ran it for us. And you're welcome to download that podcast. The first part of the show, we're going to speak to the president about our South African leadership heritage. We all know where we come from. We all know the miracle that happened. And before I ask you to define what you think is our leadership heritage, do you feel more free now? When I sat with you last time, I got the feeling when you're deputy president, your life is never your own. You know, your program is worked out in detail. There's no freedom at all. Do you have a little bit more? Can you actually read? Do you have a little bit more time to yourself these days? Or is that a fallacy? That never comes.
Well, that's a fallacy, really. It never happens that way because, you know, as someone who was in public office, I got trained to accept that I needed to be managed. And once you submit to that form of training, it stays with you for the rest of your life here. Otherwise, there would be too many accidents. I mean, if I were to manage my own diary, I think I will double book because I'll agree to all kinds of commitments, you know.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm still managed. Yeah.
You're still managed?
Yeah.
But not as strenuous, surely?
No.
A little bit more.
In a sense, if you like, I'm marching to a different drum beat now.
Yeah, you've marched to some interesting drum beats. All right, South Africa, if there's one thing we believe that should be exported, it's our leadership heritage in some way. Partially why I wrote that book. The title says Universal Lessons from South Africa, because we were hoping we can share it with the world. We really can share. How would you summarize, define our leadership heritage as a nation?
Well, you know, we are products of our own environment, and our environment is a microcosm of the world, because people have always come from all parts of the world to South Africa. When we speak to the tapestry of, you know, the South African nation, where we're literally talking about experiences of people who came from all parts of the world, and that has enriched, you know, our experiences of who we are, because those who came before us laid down solid foundations for understanding, you know, the issues of the world as a whole, and so that is why many in across the world looked up to South Africa to solve the problem, the intractable, stubborn problem of racism and racial discrimination. And many, in their own ways, in their own humble ways, in universities across the world, participated in the demonstrations against apartheid and so on, and so they literally invested emotionally and thought-wise and so on in South Africa succeeding to resolve this problem of racial discrimination. And even though right up to the end it looked as though there was going to be a conflagration in this country, and the fact that a peaceful solution was ultimately found to resolve the problems by sitting around the table inspired many people. In other words, it lived up to expectations of those who had invested you know, emotionally in South Africa finding a resolution to that problem. Whether we are now living up to their expectations is a horse of a different color.
So politically we did something right there. Now now it's a different kettle of fish, you know.
Yes.
Could I describe part of our leadership heritage like this? It's about creating impossible movement against impossible resistance towards becoming the impossible. And as everyone quotes former President Mandela, it always seems impossible until it's done.
Yeah.
So we somehow we brought different groupings together, very diverse aspirations, and we did the impossible. And we know we still have our problems, but that was amazing.
Yes, yes. That's why it was described as a miracle. Because in a sense, the way we were poised to decimate each other, you know, the worst was to be expected.
Yeah.
And yet, there was also, in a sense, an expectation that we would outdo ourselves in finding a solution. And in that regard, I think the leadership of people like Nelson Mandela, F.W. de Klerk, and didn't disappoint you. They really rose to the occasion.
It's easy to forget that, isn't it? To not amalgamate that heritage into 2015, to bring it closer and to appreciate it and live up to it. I also say in the book, we belong to a great nation, chosen above all others to fulfill our peculiar destiny of demonstrating, beyond Nelson Mandela, this leadership that the world is craving. We understand contention and discord on a deep level because we have tasted it. We should therefore understand and strive for its opposite on a deep level, which is true unity, and then live it. So we experienced movement from sure disaster to perceived impossible of unity and growth, performance, improvement, and so on and so forth. I mean, we should understand what other... I know Rolf Meyer, we had him in the studio. He travels the world, and people often tap into his intellectual property because he was in the heart of that. But are we realizing that we're a great nation, or do you think we suffer from an inferiority complex? The Americans can teach us more than we can teach them, as an example.
Well, the importance of history really lies in the fact that it gives you context. But history is inherited. The main challenge is how to create a better tomorrow. That's where the challenge lies. And of course, the two, in a sense, influence each other. The shadow of the past is cast over, the new environment, and yet the new environment is not supposed to be imprisoned by the shadow of the past.
Yeah.
So, in a word, one can say that the how to characterize, the current conjuncture is by ensuring that we repeat the lessons learned, because there are new entrants and young people who didn't experience the deep divide we come from, on the one hand, who are also important players in today's South Africa, and tomorrow belongs to them.
Yeah.
And so if this tomorrow, one always thinks of distance.
Yeah.
Not in its spatial sense, but in its temporal sense.
Mm.
That when the living work out their future.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they map out a future, that in itself is a determination of distance. That's how far they prepared to travel.
Mm.
That's how far they prepared to go. And so unless that is properly communicated to the younger generation, they may change course. Mm. They may be completely unaware of this distance that needs to be traveled.
Yeah.
And that's why it is important to continue in national discourse, to continue highlighting the lessons learned. Mm. Because, as I said, the past we inherit, the future we need to create.
And that gives them context. It gives them perspective. It gives them the bigger picture.
That's right.
And that's why leaders need to communicate so well and take the time to communicate so well. Mm. I mean, that's very valid what you're saying when we think of Youth Month coming up in June as well. All right, big question. What is the current state of our leadership in the country? We've had 20 years, almost 21 years. Mm. We're now matured as a young single adult in terms of our democracy. Mm. How, in a nutshell, I know there's good and bad, but are we living up to this leadership heritage? What is our current state?
Well, the important, I think most inspiring element of, our South Africanness is that we are, in a sense, a nation of activists.
Mm.
South Africans will not roll over and die when there's an injustice being, meted out to them.
Yeah.
They will rise against any form of injustice.
They'll be negative and in the dumps, but somehow we lift ourselves.
Yes, and that's the saving grace, because when you think of it more deeply, progress in life is a working out of opposites.
Yes.
Once you get to a point where there is a such unanimity that it translates into monopoly, even in the realm of ideas, it is bound to lead to stagnation. And that is why it's important to create an environment in which people, organizations, parties, business can feel confident enough to express their honest views on any matter.
Mm.
That's what makes for a vibrant society.
We are a nation of opposites, aren't we? We have all that you're saying. The question is whether we have confidence in that process, because we get depressed. We're a manic society almost,
I think, let me tell you what I think is missing.
Yeah.
What is missing is the identification of what is our national cause.
Okay, that's not the what's the National Development Plan?
The National Development Plan is a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a plan. And a plan works once it inspires efforts of ordinary citizens, wherever they are.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's dead.
Otherwise, it's not worth the paper it's written on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the point I'm making is, we have to all, you know, engage in a process that would define our national cause. What is it that we are pursuing?
Yeah.
Whether we are in a rugby team, or in a soccer team, or in business, or in teaching profession, or in any facet of life that we are in, there should be clarity that our efforts in those areas where we are located are aimed at advancing the national cause, national interest. That does not mean, you know, equalizing everything and so on, but it means knowing that you cannot lower the bar, because you would be, if you lower the bar, if you put in half an effort where a full effort is required, you would, in a sense, arresting the advancement of that cause. That's what is lacking.
And I think the National Development Plan, the spirit of it, but it dies down when it's not communicated with that perspective, that context, with a heart, the emotion that you mentioned. Mm. I know the vision is like a poem, and you know, there's wonderful things in there. So I think the intention of it is, of course, to do that. But so our current state of leadership, you think, lacks that perspective and that power?
It lacks that because, look, if you take, I mean, I'm from government. If you take government, there's need to appreciate the importance of having a stable, capable state, and understanding the relationship between such a state and government, because government becomes the face of the state for a term. Governments come and go, but the state has to remain in place, stable, capable. That's where delivery comes from. If you don't have a working state, one that is capable, that one that is run efficiently, and so on, then you know, you will experience lack of, you know, services, or you'll end up receiving poor services. So it's important, and the National Development Plan refers to the importance of a capable state, having a capable state. But I think the notion of a state as distinct from government is not well understood and well appreciated. That's why you have a high turnover even of senior managers in the state, without the appreciation that, in fact, that leads to destabilization or instability in the state. And if you don't have a stable state, there's not much you can do. And so I'm linking this to the understanding of what our national cause is, and that such a national cause wants, where, you know, defined and embraced, should be pursued with determination by all and sundry.
And that's not difficult in our microcosm of the world.
Yeah.
You know, it really is a fascinating country with so many challenges.
Yeah.
And just now, a little bit later on, I'm going to explore exactly what it's like running a country like this, and I think you'll be able to give us perspective. And just last on this, what is our biggest leadership challenge then, over and above what you just said, in South Africa? What do you think is the biggest obstacle or barriers to us taking our heritage forward, over and above this course that needs to be defined emotionally and physically, and communicated better, and unity around it? What's holding our nation back practically?
Well, many people are always amazed by the fact that Nelson Mandela emerged from prison after 27 years of incarceration, without any rancor or bitterness and so on. But what is really remarkable is the fact that he used that time in prison to reflect on the responsibilities of statehood. And so he walked out of prison already very clear about the responsibilities of, you know, heads of state and what role he needed to play in the process. That is why it came almost as second nature to him.
Natural, yeah.
To, contribute, always be alive to the fact that we needed to unite our people. South Africans needed unity. And with equal force, South Africa needed democracy to be, you know, practiced and consolidated. South Africa needed non-racialism because the unity and of our people being so diverse. And that's why the Constitution in its preamble refers to unity in diversity.
Yeah.
That, you know, whilst recognizing the fact that people have their own folklores and practices to follow, however, that should happen within the framework of a united non-racial democratic society.
Is that what we miss? Just back to unity.
I'm using Nelson Mandela because I think he understood, because it's all about understanding. He understood. And that's why it was so easy for him. He said that if you're a leader, you must surround yourself with people who are even better talented than you are. But it takes a certain level of self-confidence for a leader to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You must be sure about yourself inside. That's
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Inside. Mm. And not feel threatened by those who are better talented than you are. And Nelson Mandela understood that very well and exuded it in his deportment generally. And that is why he was such an inspiring leader. And he's left us that legacy as an example to emulate. And I think we should strive for it. That's why I was referring to the need for a national cause.
Yeah.
Because such leadership has to be exercised not only in political platforms, but in sport, in business, in education, in all phases of life. If we are to succeed.
He made it look so easy in some ways, you know, this ability to unite. And that's what we need again. We're doing a lot of things, but there seems to be a trust deficit between leaders and followers in general, globally. I'm not just talking South Africa. And we have that now. It takes incredible leadership and maturity to be able to do that, to create that unity.
You know, when I watch some of the sessions in the National Assembly from time to time, I get a sense that, you know, at the slightest irritation, there's a temptation to dial back to pre-1994, as though 1994 didn't happen. And yet 1994 did happen. And the implications of that happening was that no one bears the burden of guilt, because it meant that we are breaking with the past, and starting on a new footing, and that is why we need this national cause and the commitment to pursue it, the determination to pursue it.
A commitment, determination, focus.
Yeah.
Sure, it takes selfless determination from someone, from leadership to do that. Fascinating. We're speaking to former President Kgalema Motlanthe. He's in the studio with us, and we're talking about our leadership heritage. We're going to talk to him in more detail about some leadership experiences he's had. We're taking a quick break, and then we'll be back with him.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today, which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy.
We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.